The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Woo! I already like this place. I'm starting to love this place now. Praise the Lord. The Lord has been so good to us these few days. I flew in on Thursday. Soul winning with the teenagers that night, and there was a number of folks saved that evening. Thank God. We watched God save souls that evening. And then Friday, the choir clinic was the music clinic on Friday evening. Saturday, again, soul winning, and all these good times. Pastor, thank you for letting me come. I love this place. I love what's going on here. And I'm so glad you're part of it. And all these musicians, the young people who sang tonight, the two ladies, whatever their names were, Heather, Debbie, whoever, you know, let's make up a few names. and Mindy. But all the special music has been a blessing. And I so commend Dr. Palmore for all the work he is doing with all the special music. And then our instrumental folks, praise the Lord, that offertory, that was wonderful tonight. And our sister who plays, Sister Baldevious, who does such a great job, and our orchestra, praise the Lord. This doesn't just happen, it takes a lot of work. And they rehearse. And I'm thankful for all of our musicians, praise the Lord. And so many things done well around here that you're putting your heart and soul into it. Our ushers take their job serious. Our sound personnel, they take their job seriously. Those who work in nurseries, our folks that we honored tonight, that, wow, the list of the areas that they've worked in, praise God. Many hands make light work. The Bible talks about striving together, working together. The world says teamwork makes the dream work. Well, it's true. That's what the Bible teaches. And I'm so thankful that we're in a church that is not wanting to be passive, but we want to be active. We do not want to just limp along. We want to march. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10. Fast as you can. Hebrews chapter 10, if you'll turn with me there. The sermon tonight is entitled Living by Faith. Living by Faith. Hebrews chapter 10. We'll begin in verse 38, and I hope the Wells family has the best vacation that they've ever had. Don't you, church? I hope they really have a great vacation. I'm so glad that Evangelist Josh Lancaster was able to make it in town, and God bless him and all the noble work he's doing. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. Now, when I pause, say the next word, please. Verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Back to chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. The sermon, living by faith. Now listen, the only way to please God is to live by faith. It's the only way. The only way to please God is to live by faith. Now Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 is a quotation from Habakkuk chapter 2. You find Habakkuk. You read through that book and you'll find that Habakkuk lived in a day of violence and apostasy. And as a prophet, that perplexed him. He was confused. As a preacher for the Lord, as a prophet for God, Habakkuk could not understand why his nation would not want to draw close to God, walk with God, live by faith, obey the Lord. It confused him. It bothered him. It grieved him. Well, may I say that every preacher who loves God in America right now is a little bit confused. Why are we so far from God? Amen. There ought to be a great awakening in our country. Wake up. This Bible is true. Wake up. The only way to heaven is through Jesus. Wake up. Well, Habakkuk was a little confused. He was perplexed. God, are you working in this country? And God gave Habakkuk assurance that God Almighty was at work. And by the way, God is at work in our country right now too. There's still some soul-winning churches around. Hallelujah. There's still some Christians that want to draw nigh to Him. If we'll draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to us. Our church is as close to God as we want to be. And I want our church to get close to God. Amen to that. Well, God assured Habakkuk that God truly was at work and that Habakkuk was simply to live by faith. Habakkuk, do not worry. Do not worry. And Christian, tonight, do not worry. Worry is just the opposite of faith. In fact, faith is the cure for worry. Faith's a cure for a lot of things. Faith is the cure for guilt. Faith is the cure for shame. In fact, we've got that song, Faith is the Victory. Amen. So why is it? Why is it that so often we find ourselves disobeying God? Why is it? Do you know why? Because we don't have enough faith. Because we don't truly believe God. Let me illustrate. A man says, I believe in tithing. Oh, you do? Okay, let's get your tithing record out and let's find out if you do. Oh, sir, you've not been tithing. You say you believe in it. I'm glad you're not against it. Because you've not been giving, sir. A man who's not tithing, he doesn't believe in tithing. Man who says, I believe in attending church. I've heard that. Oh, where do you go to church? Well, I have church at my house. Really? A man who believes in assembling together is going to come and assemble together. Amen to that. A man who believes in Bible study, he's going to get his Bible out and he's going to study. A man who believes in prayer, a family who believes in prayer, they're going to have prayer time together. A person who believes in soul winning, they're going to go soul winning. Me and Brother Butler had opportunity to go out this afternoon. We went in downtown Dallas. We had a great time. We found folks out there, got little assemblies together out there and started having preaching services. And we watched God save a soul this afternoon. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I love Brother Butler. I love all this staff. Hallelujah for the staff God has given us and all the people that work here. Hallelujah. The reason so many people are not saved is they've not put their faith in God. All right. I've got my little sermon here, and I found out the other day that it's a lot shorter if I actually have notes. The other day I'd lost my notes and I preached by memory and what was on my heart, and I preached a long, long, long sermon. Aren't you glad I've got some notes tonight? Now this sermon tonight, I've got four D's for you, four D's about faith. If you come home with a report card and say, look, Dad, I got four D's, that's not good. But tonight we've got four good D's, all right? D number one, the details of faith. The details of faith. Chapter 11, verse 1. The details of faith. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So our church, we're trying to live by faith. Well, some folks say, well, over there at Parkside, What they're really living by is not faith, but by blind superstition. Blind superstition is not faith. Well, they say, well, over there at Parkside, it's the power of positive thinking. There was a preacher from days gone by, He was a man who had a congregation, and his sermon was power of positive thinking. Well, that's not faith either. And I'm glad our preacher's not preaching that message. Amen. Faith is not the power of positive thinking. Faith is not blind superstition. Faith is not mere idealism. So what is faith? Faith is confidence in God. Our confidence is in the Lord. There's no sinner He can't save. There's no problem He can't solve. Hallelujah. Our faith is in Him, our confidence in Him, our dependence is in Him, our conviction comes from Him. You see the word substance here in verse 1. Faith is the substance. And you see assurance. God gives us assurance. Listen, He created the whole universe, verse 3. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. 5 or 6 Saturdays ago, I was witnessing in a town. I spoke to someone in the church. They told me about a man named Bill. Bill, 71 years old. Bill says there is no God. Bill's a widower. I said to my friend at the church, I said, please take me to go see him. I said, I want to try to win him to the Lord. A man 71 years old, how much longer does he have? I don't know. So we went by. Big game hunter. You saw his trophies all around. Impressive. I sat down at his table, began to talk with him. Tried to talk to him about the Lord. Said he believed in Jesus, but he didn't believe Jesus was more than a man. That when Jesus died, that he was buried. That he did not believe that Jesus rose from the dead. We talked about a lot of things. He believed about Hannibal and the elephants. He believed about Plato. He believed a lot of things, but he would not believe in the Lord. I suppose there was a fellow named Hannibal and there was those elephants. We've got some documentation about it. Plato, we've got one book. There's one book. There's one book that's made it. And I think there's probably a Plato. Friends, we've got thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of copies of the manuscripts in the Bible. Hallelujah. Why are you not believing the Bible? I said, Bill, he believes in evolution. I said, Bill, you did not evolve from some primordial scum. People believe that. See, everybody is a believer. You either believe this book, you want to know proper cosmogony, the study of how things came to be, get this book out. You'll find out how this whole universe came to be. Amen to that. Faith. Faith is not altered by appearances. Faith is not altered by appearances. It looked pretty grim for Daniel. But Daniel was a man of faith. They said, Daniel, quit praying. Oh, wait a minute. A Christian is to pray. Amen. Daniel, you've got to stop praying. Oh, no. I'm a man of faith. I believe God. And the Bible says he continued to pray. He got on his knees facing toward Jerusalem just like he had done aforetime. That's the Bible word. Why? Because he's a man of faith. Faith is not altered by appearances. I would not like to be eaten alive by lions, would you? Brother Fox, how do you want to die? As easy as possible, okay? Not by lions, okay? But Daniel actually believed God. Faith is not altered by appearances. Those three Hebrew children. Nebuchadnezzar the king said, bow down or you're going to burn. Those fellows said, no, we're not bowing down. We believe God. And they had what you'd call fireproof faith. Hallelujah. And God delivered them. Nebuchadnezzar says, it looks like we put three fellows in there, but wait a minute, I see the fourth, and he's like the Son of God. Come out of there. And they don't even smell smoke on them. Amazing. Faith is not altered by appearances. David goes out to fight big old Goliath. Goliath's huge. David's a little fella in comparison. He's young. This other man's a seasoned veteran, soldier, warrior. Wow. David, you can't go fight. He's too big to fight. Eyes too big to miss. He goes out there and he just believes God. Amen. Amen. Faith is not altered by appearances. The world says, seeing is believing. The Bible says, believing is seeing. Faith is not measured by feelings. Oh, you're just living by your emotions, Brother Fox. No. This is not mere emotions. I've got emotions. I get happy in the Lord. I've laughed and cried at the same time. I got so happy. Oh, yeah. But it's not just emotions. No, we've got some substance. It's concrete. Faith is not limited by logic. Jesus came and said to that little paralyzed man, arise and walk. Well, no paralyzed man can walk. No, with man that's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Amen. Faith goes beyond our logic. Number one, the first D, the details of faith. Number two, the dynamics of faith. The dynamics of faith. Verse 3, Hebrews 11, 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. He spoke it all into existence. And it's all consisting by him too, so that the things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. Verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The dynamics, number two, second D, the dynamics. Faith brings spiritual wisdom. Faith brings spiritual wisdom. God in the Bible is not explained. God in the Bible is not argued for. God does not need me to defend him. No, I'm just his servant. I'm just an echo. He's the author of the book. I'm just an echo. God in the Bible is merely presented. And God must be accepted by faith, by trust, by dependence. And again, I repeat, everybody is a believer. Some believe God, and some believe there is no God. The Bible says the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Oh, faith brings spiritual wisdom. Faith brings spiritual worship. When your eyes... If you're listening, say amen.
Amen.
When your eyes work properly, they respond to light. When your ears work properly, they respond to sound. When your heart works properly, it responds to God. And you start worshiping. No one's ever gotten close to God without realizing he is holy. Choir, you sang that song tonight. I believe that he is holy. God is holy. And when you get close to God, you want to worship him. It's because you believe. It's because of faith. Faith honors God. Well, the dynamics of faith. Faith brings wisdom. Faith brings worship. And faith brings wealth. Look at verse 6 again. At the very end of verse 6, Hebrews 11, verse 6. It talks about God, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God rewards his people. You know, you've never seen any of God's tithing people out on a street corner begging. You've never seen that. God always takes care of his tithing people. Faith is the currency of heaven. I was over there in England and I was preaching, and I was speaking with the treasurer at this particular church. And this fellow, he was the treasurer, he said, whoo, in today's offering, we had British pounds, we had European euros, we had some Irish money. He started naming all the different currencies that was in that offering. I would hate to be a treasurer in a church like that, having to convert, you know what I'm saying, convert it all. Wow, you think our treasurer has a big job. Wow, I'm glad we don't have lots of different currencies to work with. But you know what the currency is of heaven? Faith. Faith, ladies and gentlemen. How's your faith tonight? Don't you want your faith in God to grow and grow and grow and grow? You want to please God? It's by faith. Number three, the third D, the duty of faith. So what is my duty? Chapter 12, verse 1. What is my duty by faith? What's the duty of faith? Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What's my duty? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which the Lord, which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I've got some duties. What is my duty? Here it is. To find, follow, and finish God's will for my life. Young people, find God's will for your life. Follow God's will for your life. And finish God's will for your life. There's people who will try to talk you out of doing God's will. They may be pretty good folk in some ways. But young people, millennials in this room, find God's will for your life. Put your hand to that plow and don't you look back. Amen to that. Stay with it. Find God's will, follow God's will, and finish. It's not just how you start that counts. Hallelujah for the senior saints in this room. So often they are the backbone of the church. Oh, they're not as good at moving tables as they used to be. I found out about half of God's work is moving tables. Have you noticed? Got to move them tables. Or moving pianos on and off. We had some men do that the other day. Move stuff. Maybe our seniors aren't as good at moving everything around. But who should know the Lord the best in this room? Not just knowing the Lord. Our senior saints should not just know the Lord. They should know the Lord well. And we want all of our seniors to finish strong. Your faith just needs to keep growing and keep growing. Every Christian needs to be a growing Christian. Every Christian should be taking another step forward in their walk with God. My dad's 85 years old. I don't know if I told this to some of you or not. I did it individually. This past Thursday, boy, it's hot there in Virginia. And my dad's just got a little yard, to be honest. And he cut his grass over several days. And so on Thursday, he was going to try to cut the front yard. And so with that push mower, he did a couple of laps there, sat down in a chair. There's some construction fellas across the way. And the boss man on the construction team, the boss man came over and said, "Sir, let me finish cutting your grass for you." Finished cutting the grass for him. My dad's sitting there. My dad told me, said, "Whoa, I just had a good Samaritan come by." That boss man from the construction, the boss man came and finished cutting the grass. My dad's sitting there. The man came over and said, "Sir, being this hot, you don't need to be out here like that." My dad said, "Have a seat." Gave him a gospel track. My dad said, "It's amazing. They come and cut your grass and you get the soul win at the same time." I'm glad my dad's still letting his light shine. Amen. Amen to that. If you get near my pop, he's going to ask you, "Now, have you accepted Christ as your Savior?" I mean, if you get near him, he's going to ask you. Hallelujah for that. Find God's will, follow God's will, and finish God's will in your life. And then leave off the superfluous. Leave off the trivial. Those weights, lay them aside. There are men that are caught up in things that are not going to amount to anything at the judgment seat of Christ. There's men that all they can work on is collecting baseball cards. There's men that all they can talk about is their portfolio. They're just consumed with things, sports. Sports have consumed so many men. And listen, at the judgment seat of Christ, it's not going to matter if you bowled a 300 game or not. Amen. It's what you've done for Jesus. And then the sin, the great enemy of faithfulness, the great enemy of faithful duty is sin. Sin. Sin has stopped men and women of every age group, of every state, of every city, become wayward, become indifferent, become cold to the things of God. Almost look like you've lost your faith. No, no, no. In the Bible, we're told to repent of that. Amen. Get right with God. Stay on the firing line. The duty of faith. What is the duty? To find, follow, and finish God's will for my life. And then the last D, what's the destination of faith? Is there a destination? Well, chapter 12, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Our sweet, beloved Savior. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's helped me every step of the way. The night I got saved, the good Holy Spirit came and talked to me and said, Byron, you need Jesus. You need to put your faith in Jesus. The Holy Spirit's always pointing folks to Jesus. Amen to that. Look to Jesus. If you're in this room and you're not saved, oh, look to Jesus tonight. You know, we talk about winning souls, and I use that expression. But you know it's not us that save souls. It's our Savior who saves souls. We just point folks to Him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Oh, there's a destination. It talks in verse 1 there, let us run the race with patience. You know, running is a forward motion. Oh, we need to just keep going forward. I've heard preachers use this statement. God is always advancing. I heard this one. God is for progress. I like it. Listen, I don't want our church to sit still. I want us to keep going forward, forward, onward, Christian soldiers, the song says. And that's true. And what is our eternal destination? Heaven. We're children of God. If you're saved, if you're born again, we've got a home. So now here's some concluding statements. Concluding statement number one. It is not great faith in God that we so desperately need. It is not great faith that we need so much. No, it's just faith in our great God. Our great God. Put your faith in Him. He's never failed. Statement number two in conclusion. Faith is the byproduct of looking unto Jesus. Don't stare at your problems at all times. Look at this problem over here. Look at how bad it is over here. Look at this. Quit looking at all the problems. I mean, you got to take care of problems. Look at them a little bit. Glance at them a little bit. But just keep your gaze on Jesus. I'm just going to keep looking to Jesus. I'm going to just keep trusting Him. My confidence is in Him. I am living by faith. Amen. Number three, concluding statement. We can exist without faith in God, but we can't really live without faith in God. Would you like to live? I mean really live. Live with a capital L on it. Would you like to really live? The only way to really live is to live by faith. Living by faith. The last concluding statement is actually a question. Do you know Jesus by faith? Are you saved? If you're saved, you're saved by faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. When me and Brother Butler was out this afternoon, we was talking with some fellows, and different topics came up. I said to some of them, we had four or five of them there, I said, if you could get to heaven by working, then why did Jesus die? No, you can't get to heaven by good works. It's faith in Jesus. It's receiving Jesus by faith that is so needed. Would you bow your heads?
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.